When in Luke's version of the story, the risen Jesus first appears to his closest friends and companions, they are not entirely convinced that it is Jesus, the man they had known and loved. At first, they think he is a ghost, some kind of otherworldly apparition who had come to harm them. They start to believe only after Jesus has said, "Look, I'm not a ghost. I am myself." And he invites them to touch the wounds in his hands and feet. And a few moments later, he eats some fish in their presence, again to show that he is himself in the flesh, as it were. This story, and the one before it about the encounter on the road to Emmaus, has always intrigued me. Not because of their apparently miraculous elements. I've actually never really struggled with the idea that the God who created the universe can also alter its rules. No problem there. But because they model for us these stories, that rather paradoxical process by which Christian selves become yet more themselves by dying to themselves. So that's what I'd like to talk to you about this evening. Becoming who you are by letting go of who you are in order to become a new self that is like the risen Christ. According to Luke's story, Jesus wasn't always himself, which is not to say that he was not recognisable as himself. His name was Jesus, or some Aramaic version of that. He was a son to his mother and a brother to his siblings. He grew up in Nazareth and learned a trade, which he then used to support his family. Everyone who knew him over a period of years would have identified Jesus as himself, even if they'd not seen him for some time. "I haven't been here for some time, and possibly you remember me as myself." Who knows? Even after his baptism by John in the Jordan, even after Jesus left his hometown in pursuit of a new and dangerous vocation, Jesus was recognisably Jesus. And yet Jesus had not yet become entirely himself. Even at the point of his death on the cross, Jesus was not yet what God had promised he would be. He was not yet the risen one, the one who could shake off the power of sin, evil, and death. He was not yet the new kind of human being that the disciples finally encounter in our story. A flesh and blood person who could nevertheless appear and disappear as though he were no longer subject to the limitations of space and time that most of the rest of us have to deal with. For much of Luke's story, then, Jesus is not yet himself in the sense of having become who God had destined him to be. Crucially in the story, Jesus is only able to become truly himself by letting go of a whole heap of cherished dreams about his future, some originating in his own imagination, and some in the imagination of others. His mother, being a Jewish mother, probably hoped that Jesus would become a successful merchant, or even better, perhaps a lawyer or a rabbi. She and he had to let go of such dreams. His friends and companions hoped that Jesus would become a political leader, a leader who could oust the Romans and restore the fortunes of Israel. They and he had to let go of that plan. And from the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, we can surmise that Jesus himself would really have preferred to live rather than to die. To retire quietly to some regional small business, perhaps, rather than to get tortured by the Jewish council and by Pilate and anyone else who wanted to weigh in at the time. Yet, in the end, he makes a crucial decision which makes all the difference. "Not my will, but yours be done," he says. He says that to God, his Father. And by that decision, he lets go of his own hopes and dreams, because clearly in this phrase they can be distinguished from his Father's, and ultimately gives himself over to what his Father's hopes and dreams for him happen to be. And this ultimately enables God to complete the process of his becoming. By this death, Jesus becomes the Christ, the one anointed by God to bring a new kind of life into the world, a life so new that most of us who claim to follow Christ are still having trouble coming to terms with what it all means. But precisely because we are disciples of Christ and therefore by definition imitators of his way, this is how it is for all of us as well, not just for Jesus, but for us as well. We shall never be truly ourselves until we are able to let go of ourselves, the usual hopes and dreams planted in us by family, friends, teachers, culture in general, grasping instead the self that God wills and promises for us, the self that several apostolic writers simply call the Christ self. The Christ self, as the first letter of John tells us, is righteous. Not righteous in the sense of a self-interested hiding away from the rest of the world or a sitting in judgment upon it. No, the Christ self is righteous in the sense that Jesus is righteous, an engaged embodiment of the mercy and love of God, a tough kind of love that is centred not on ourselves but on other people, refusing simply to abandon other people to the powers of death, or despair, or in our culture, simply banality. According to John, we shall never be entirely ourselves until we are like the risen Christ, the new human being, the revelation of what God intends for humanity in general. When he appears, says John, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. This is God's promise. But like all God's promises, it's not a promise that can be fulfilled apart from our own choice. Because God created us for freedom. To become who we are, we must choose the path that Christ would choose. We must choose the path that Christ would choose. Ego eimi autos, I am myself. This is what the risen Christ said to his disciples. And we shall only be able to say that ourselves if we are prepared to do what Jesus did, to take our baptism into his death seriously as a very real dying and rising. We shall be ourselves if, by faith, we have allowed Christ to take away the fear of what others may think and the desire to conform to all that is conventional or common sense in that common sense way of understanding common sense. We shall be ourselves when we are prepared to risk both security and sense, as it is commonly understood, for the sake of a gospel of outrageous love. We shall be ourselves when we stop believing that there is nothing that we can do to change this crazy world of economic and scientific rationalism. We shall be ourselves when prayer has become more habitual than watching TV or surfing the internet. We shall be ourselves when we are able to attend to the needs of others, even if that means putting aside what we think we might need for ourselves. We shall be ourselves when we are able to surrender ourselves to Christ and say, like he did, "Not my will, but yours." Now, I am very aware of not yet being myself. And everyone who knows me really, really well is very aware of me not being myself yet either. But it's the same for you too. In faith, I believe that Christ will complete the work that he began when I was baptized. He will do it for you too. If only you and I will surrender. If only you and I will let go and let Christ be our mind and our heart and our understanding and our action in the world. If we can do that, then we will become whom God has destined to be, and we will be able to say with Christ, "I am myself." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.